The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green with the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from self.com and theteenmagazine.com. Our first article is from self.com and is Naomi Osaka's next chapter, the four-time Grand Slam champion on her life-changing year. And this article is written by Morgan Jerkins. At the Indian Wells Open earlier this year, Naomi Osaka's return to tennis was continuing wonderfully. She seemed at ease when she appeared at a pre-tournament press conference in early March, where she told reporters that she was feeling really grateful. Then she swiftly defeated Sloane Stephens in the first round. It was a glimmer of the glory of her first Women's Tennis Association, WTA, title at Indian Wells in 2018, a career breakthrough that would be the first in a string of awe-inspiring victories, including four Grand Slam titles to come. It was also a sharp contrast from a year ago, when Osaka dropped out of the French Open in May, and later in September announced that she was dealing with some stuff and would be taking a break from playing after losing to Leila Fernandez in the third round of the U.S. Open in September. But then it happened. In the first set of her match against Veronika Kudermetova in the second round, a heckler yelled, "Naomi, you suck!" irreparably shifting Osaka's energy and the overall tenor of the game. After her defeat, Osaka addressed the crowd while wiping away tears. "To be honest, I've gotten heckled before. It really didn't bother me," she said. "But being heckled here, I watched a video of Venus and Serena Williams getting heckled here. And if you've never watched it, you should watch it. I don't know why, but it went into my head." The incident that Osaka was referring to is well known. In 2001, Venus and Serena were set to compete against each other in the semifinals at Indian Wells until Venus pulled out at the last minute due to tendonitis. Though Serena ended up winning the title, spectators booed her in her finals match against Kim Clijsters, and her father, Richard, also reported being threatened with racial violence while sitting in the crowd. The experience impacted Serena so much that she boycotted the tournament for 14 years and has said that she's still traumatized by her mistreatment despite her return there in 2015. In examining both instances, the Williams sisters in 2001 and Osaka's in 2022, there exists the disappointing realization that in 20 years, not much has changed with regard to how athletes, particularly black female ones, are treated. Perhaps Osaka herself felt it that day. Through her publicist, Osaka told Self that she preferred not to respond to any questions about what happened at Indian Wells. Compounded by the expectation that black women are expected to ceaselessly perform labor for society's comfort or entertainment, famous athletes like Osaka and the Williams sisters are in a double bind due to their notoriety and talent. Their fame reduces the public's ability to empathize with their personal struggles, while society at large expects athletes to perform, even 2 years into a pandemic, where many are critiquing our culture's obsession with productivity. For those who are descendants of the enslaved, this racially coded expectation only demonstrates how much their worth is seen by others as being attached to their labor. One display of Osaka's rejection of these expectations began in late May 2021, when she announced in a post on social media that she wasn't going to do any press during the French Open. If the organizations think that they can just keep saying, "Do press or you're going to be fined," and continue to ignore the mental health of the athletes that are the centerpiece of their corporation, then I just got a laugh, she wrote, before adding for good measure, "I hope the considerable amount that I get fined for this will go to a mental health charity, XOXO. Not only did Roland Garros, the organization that oversees the French Open, respond, but so did the other three Grand Slam tournaments, Wimbledon, the U.S. Open, and the Australian Open, releasing a joint statement admonishing Osaka and confirming that she was fined $15,000 for making good on her promise and skipping the media interviews after her first round match. Then, on May 31st, Osaka officially dropped out of the tournament, citing on social media that she never wanted to be a distraction, and disclosing that she had been dealing with long bouts of depression since 2018. Incidentally, the same year she defeated her idol, Serena Williams, in the U.S. Open and was booed by the crowd for doing so. The impact of Osaka's defiance, her willingness to speak authentically and process her feelings publicly and in real time, was immediate. She received an outpouring of support from many high-profile athletes, celebrities, and the public at large. After I opened up about struggles, I spoke to a lot of athletes that told me they too had quietly been suffering, Osaka says. Soon, gymnast Simone Biles, swimmer Simone Manuel, and golfer Mariah Stackhouse and others started to speak out about the toll of elite athleticism on one's emotional well-being. In retrospect, 2021 was a banner year for Black female athletes to proclaim that it was okay to not be okay, and Osaka was at the forefront. I just didn't feel like I had to do things for others, Osaka says about her decision to speak out. I wanted to start listening to myself and doing things that I needed to do to protect my mindset. Osaka is telling me this in emailed responses that get back to me via her publicist. Almost a year after she sparked a much-needed conversation on mental health, and just a few weeks since the heckling incident at Indian Wells, I'd been hoping to connect with her directly for this profile in a face-to-face conversation, either on Zoom or in person. But I also wanted to tread lightly. I didn't want to pressure her to do the thing that she had singled out as the cause of much stress in her life, and yet we both had the similar goal of bringing exposure to her work for a cause. So when both she and I agreed to speak through emails and voice memos, I felt proud that Osaka had set that boundary with me. And even though she was guarded in her responses, as a necessary tool to protect herself, one can assume, she took particular care to answer each of my questions, even if it might have meant her searching for a quiet corner in the midst of the chaos of her everyday life as a tennis superstar. It felt like she wanted to do a good job, even as she was adamant about upsetting the norms of celebrity access and earnest about her lead role in a year that upended our expectations of professional athletes. There have been some clues about the possible burden of it all, to the surprise of someone who's somewhat accidentally become a leader of a movement when all she was doing was demanding that she be heard. When I ask Osaka if she expected her openness about her mental health to cause shockwaves across the sports world, she writes, "I didn't expect any of it, and to be honest, it was a bit strange. For the first time, I had press at my house and at my hotel. That had never happened before. It was a strange feeling, and I was shocked that people cared that much." As she continues, she sounds slightly incredulous about the impact of her actions. "I guess I am glad it gave others the opportunity to also speak up, even if that wasn't my intention or what I expected," she says. "It started a conversation that I think we all needed to start having." Osaka's origin story is one that transcends borders. Her Haitian-born father, Leonard Francois, met her mother, Tamaki Osaka, while he was studying abroad in Japan. Leonard and Tamaki carried on a secret romance for years, one that led to a decade and a half-long estrangement from Tamaki's parents once they discovered the relationship. Naomi and her older sister Mari were born in Osaka and moved to New York's Long Island, when Naomi was a toddler. She started playing tennis at age 3 and counts Venus and Serena as role models. The Williams sisters are such trailblazers and tackled so many issues head-on, Osaka says. As a Black female athlete, I credit them for breaking down barriers for me. She loved King Richard, which she recently watched on a plane. At the end, I was crying, she says. Naomi wasn't the only one in her family who was influenced by the Williamses. Through watching videos, Francois learned from Richard Williams's attentive eye to his daughter's talent and dedication. Murray also played. Like Richard, Francois moved his family to Florida so that both Naomi and Murray could receive better training. In Florida, the Osaka sisters played at the Harold Solomon Tennis Academy and the Pro World Tennis Academy in Delray Beach. Francois, who was a self-taught tennis coach, instructed the sisters while their mother managed the home and held down a 9-to-5 job in Miami. Both sisters were homeschooled. By age 10, Naomi was representing Japan and mostly forewent junior tournaments, opting instead for the lesser-publicized International Tennis Federation, or ITF, games. By 18, Naomi started practicing at the Everett Tennis Academy, where other star athletes such as Madison Keys and Sloane Stephens would play. When Osaka won all 3 of her qualifying rounds at the Australian Open in 2016, it was none other than one of her role models who gave a prophetic word of what was to come. I have seen her play, Serena Williams told reporters. She's really young and really aggressive. She's a really good, talented player. Very dangerous. Just 2 years later, at the 2018 U.S. Open final, the 20-year-old rising star defeated Serena in an intense match. It was Serena's first U.S. Open appearance after giving birth to her daughter Olympia, and the win would have earned her a 24th Grand Slam, tying her with Australian tennis player Margaret Court. When the match was over, Osaka broke down in tears. Even when Serena supported Osaka by putting an arm around her, the crowd booed and jeered. I know that everyone was cheering for her to win, Osaka said in an address to the crowd. I'm sorry it had to end like this. I just want to say thank you for watching the match. This career breakthrough did arrive with a glorious and painful moment. However, her subsequent achievements demonstrated that Osaka was the real deal. The following year, when she won the 2019 Australian Open, at age 21, Osaka became one of the youngest number one tennis players of all time. By 22, she was the highest paid female athlete in the world, earning over $37 million from 2019 to 2020, a record she'd break in the following year when she brought in $60 million, and $55 million of which was from endorsements such as Louis Vuitton, Nike, Tag Heuer, Body Armor, GoDaddy, and Sweetgreen, among many others. In 2020, when the killings of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor ignited protests around the world, Osaka used her platform by wearing a different mask bearing the name of a slain Black person due to racist violence to each of her 7 matches in the U.S. Open. She participated in protests and wrote an opinion editorial for Esquire about her participation in the Minneapolis protests for George Floyd, her biracial identity, as well as her experience as a target for racial slurs and threats. Her efforts landed her a spot as Sports Illustrated's 2020 Spokesperson of the Year, alongside others like LeBron James and Patrick Mahomes. Speaking up on issues that aren't always easy to talk about is new to me, but something I am really glad I am starting to do, Osaka tells me. For me, it was just important to tell people how I was honestly feeling at the moment. Since the Indian Wells incident, Naomi Osaka has started to work with a therapist, a decision that she admits wasn't an easy one. I have seen therapists in the past, but not consistently until now, she says. I'm super happy that I found the right person who really understands me and has been incredibly helpful. She understands how others can feel apprehensive about starting therapy. It's kind of a scary first step to take, but I think it can be helpful to everyone in some shape or form, and especially so to a large section of people, she says. It doesn't mean you are broken. She also crafted an intentional self-care routine centered on meditation and journaling, which she started last year during the U.S. Open. I found it really helpful to reflect on the day or write down what I want to achieve in the day, she says. She reminds herself to put her phone down or not think about things, she says. She also enjoys gaming, a hobby of hers since she was young. Her current favorites are Fortnite, Overwatch, Apex Legends, and The Elder Scrolls. Osaka also says she often winds down by working on her other projects, which include a line with Nike, her collaboration with Tag Heuer, which recently released an Osaka-designed limited edition watch, and her Kinlo skincare brand, which expanded its line of tinted SPF, mists, and moisturizers into Walmart retail stores on April 30th. It's all pretty surreal, Osaka says of the expansion. I never thought I could develop something that helped people of color like me and then see it on the shelves of a store like Walmart that reaches so many and a store I grew up always going to. It makes me proud. Her French bulldog, Buddha, is a relatively new addition to her life, and she counts him both as her greatest joy and as an integral part of her support system. He's a big source of comfort for me. Whenever you pick him up, he just becomes a big baby, she gushes. He's really good at cuddling. I really love that about him. Given her entrepreneurial spirit, Osaka's candor about her mental well-being has naturally led to new connections in the wellness space, like with Allison Watson, the CEO and founder of Modern Health, an app that helps employees and others find mental health resources, with which Osaka recently announced a partnership. I was inspired by Allison as such an impressive female founder, Osaka says. She now offers the service to her employees at Kinlo. With her Modern Health partnership, Osaka will be working with the WTA to share stories of other tennis players' journeys with mental health. The main goal is that we remind people that they are not alone, Osaka says. For herself, the year Osaka spent focusing on her own mental wellness has been beneficial. At this stage in my life, I feel very content in my mental health journey. I feel comfortable in who I am and where I have come from, Osaka says. There have been ups and downs, and I wouldn't change a thing, which really helps to give me inner peace. My interview process with Osaka lasted several weeks, happening right after the uproar at Indian Wells. During this time, she was preparing for and competing in the Miami Open. While awaiting her responses, sent between practices and recorded in busy airports, I tracked her progression carefully. I sensed a change in Osaka's public demeanor. There was joy in her smiling court photos and playful tweets, a stark contrast to her unhappy exit at Indian Wells only weeks before. Osaka made it to the finals, her first championship appearance since winning the Australian Open in February of last year. There were still tears at Miami, but this time they were ones of satisfaction. I had a blast on court for the first time in a while, she tells me after losing in the final round to Iga Swiatek. I have a new perspective, and I'm so appreciative that I have this career and platform. I'm also really energized and motivated. Could it be that Naomi Osaka, just 24 years old, propelled into stardom by concentrating on her game, then navigating what it means to be a black athlete during one of the most tumultuous times for racial justice in history, and then using her newfound platform to tell us that she's not okay, is only now just finding her stride? Time will tell. In the meantime, Osaka is searching for something else. My main goal used to be winning, she says. Lately, I have tried to ask myself questions like, will this make you happy? And our next article from theteenmagazine.com, TikTok, Should You Delete It? Written by Angelina Minaj. Leaving social media is something huge for younger people, as newer generations use apps like Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok to express themselves. Many Americans are relying on it for connection during the coronavirus pandemic. Many people have been found leaving social media, and unexpectedly, it does wonders for them, including me. Kate Rosenblatt, a therapist and senior clinical manager at the online therapy platform Talkspace, stated that many of her clients deleted their social media or took similar extended digital detoxes. Digital minimalism, as they realized, could do wonders for their mental health. TikTok specifically is very dangerous, as the algorithm is made for people to keep scrolling on the app as long as possible. Here's why this is dangerous to both mental and physical health. Attention span. The brain is like plastic. In other words, it changes over time, rewiring and creating new connections. Social media changing your attention span does not sound that crazy. Neuropsychologist Dr. Sanam Hafiz, Doctor of Psychology, tells Bustle that you're actually in pursuit of dopamine when scrolling through TikTok. Feelings of pleasure cause you to continue finding another video. Multiple studies have shown that too much TikTok can be bad for the brain. With more than 689 million active users worldwide, TikTok users spend more than 10 hours per week on the platform. TikTok videos have also been linked to decreased attention spans after being on the app for more than 29 minutes. This can cause people to speed up videos to watch faster, and with a music video, could finish quicker. A study titled Accelerating Dynamics of Collective Attention, published in Nature Communications, showed a dramatic decrease in the attention span of people over time. Researchers from the Technical University of Denmark pointed out that a 2013 hashtag on average stayed on top for 17.5 hours. But in 2016, a top hashtag only stayed for an average of 11.9 hours. The app tracks people's interests to make them scroll on the app longer. We found that TikTok only needs one of these to figure out how long you linger over a piece of content. Every second you hesitate or rewatch, the app tracks you. Low attention span can lead to poor performance at work or school and the inability to complete daily tasks. Chewing gum, exercising, and meditation have been found to be helpful in increasing attention span. Dangerous. TikTok has had many serious trends that can lead to very dangerous actions. A recent trend, the devious lick, encouraged students to steal and vandalize school property, leading to many students being arrested. Another challenge, the penny challenge, led to people dropping a penny between a wall socket and a plug. Although it does not sound dangerous, it has started a lot of house fires. Many other challenges on TikTok have ended with nasty injuries. Some experts believe that TikTok's algorithm can promote content related to depression, anxiety, and eating disorders, according to CBS News. Students with higher scores for TikTok use disorder performed worse on both the forward and backward digit span tests, according to a questionnaire that was distributed among 3,036 high school students in China. These students had also had higher scores for depression, anxiety, and stress. Social media can affect not only teenagers, but also middle-aged people. Based on a series of surveys of 5,395 adults whose average age was 56, it was found that people who were using Facebook, TikTok, and Snapchat were more likely to come back and tell us they felt depressed the next time they filled out the survey. Especially during the pandemic, social media were filling a void for a lot of people. Social media showed people seemingly living their best lives on social media, which may remind people of what they've been missing this past year. Safety. TikTok can easily be exploited by predators to take advantage of minors because the app makes it painless for strangers to direct messages to children. Although it is a fun app for creating humorous videos, there are always problems, like how Trisha Cuthbertson, a mom, told NBC News her daughter's friend downloaded TikTok onto her daughter's phone, and in a matter of an hour, she has 20 followers, all men, and they were starting to make inappropriate comments. The app is also known to have other security concerns, such as data leaks. India banned TikTok and several apps from China, citing security concerns. The unsecured database left almost 235 million Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube user profiles exposed online in what can only be described as a massive data leak. Researchers say the massive data leak included fields like profile name, full real name, profile photo, and account description. It may be difficult to fully delete your social media account. 91% of 16 to 24-year-olds use the internet and social networking sites regularly. Limiting the amount of time being spent on the app by putting your phone away before bed, taking a week off from social media, keeping track of the amount of time spent on your phone, and other ways will not only improve your mood, but will also help your attention span. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.